Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone here this snowy Sunday morning. We're glad that you could be with us. If you'll take just a few minutes to greet each other, just stand up and greet someone that you haven't seen this week. Our announcements for this morning, first thing is for the youth, immediately after the 10:15 service, they will have their Super Bowl get together with games and lunch. I think, does any youth know any more about that than I do? Jesse, do you? They got lunch. Bill, I said youth. Now you cannot say. Also, please be sure and fill out the RSVP in the bulletin if you plan on attending Wednesday night's dinner so that Tommy will know how much food to fix. Are there any other announcements that need to be made, Brother Larry?
It's going to refer to it today. Today is the birthday of Cumberland Presbyterian Denomination. A snowy day, allegedly, in Dixon County, Tennessee, down where the church is, the shrine is now, is the log cabin. Allegedly, three people went from Nashville down there to visit with Mr. McAdoo, or Reverend McAdoo, and they prayed all night. Now, how long that was, you don't know. When did they start? And next morning, February the 4th, he came in from being out in the snow and said that he felt that God was leading them to continue Cumberland Presbytery, which became the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. They had been kicked out of the other church because they wouldn't subscribe to certain doctrines that I'll mention in the sermon. Today, at 5:30, at the Columbia Church, at the corner of U.S. 412 and U.S. 31 in Columbia, there will be a celebration of some kind. I'm just going and to participate if the snow doesn't get too bad. It's at 5:30 in Columbia Church at the corner of 412. You're kind of back behind the Hardys up on the hill. So, mention that. If anybody like to go, I'm mentioning here about 4:30.
Okay. Christy? Good. We know that this service that we offer has led many people to our church, so it serves its purpose in more ways than one. Melanie? Wednesday night.
Tuesday
night? Wednesday night. Okay. Okay. Any other announcements?
Stay warm.
It's going to be cold this week. It sure is. If there's no other announcements, let's turn to our prayer and praise request. I have one. I know y'all have heard me mention my cousin Jane, who had the two tumors. Within the last 2 weeks, she has lost her husband and her father within a week of each other. She's had a very tough time. I went home. It's she will make it. She has strong faith, and she has a good support system. But I can't imagine she's lost the two most important men in her life within a week of each other. She desperately needs to be lifted up. Are there any others? Pam? The family of Opie Ward, okay. Any others? If not, can we just bow our heads and pause for a moment of silence? Our call to worship this morning is found in your bulletin. If everyone will turn in their bulletin, it is responsive. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. Bow down, your holy, and will praise you for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great.
Our first hymn is 506, and if you'll stand with me, it's I Will Sing of My Redeemer. We're going to do the first, the second, and the last verse. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost is saved to save. In His boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
Sometimes we have a tendency to just sing the words, but this is a beautiful, beautiful song. The chorus is so wonderful. Think about that
With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and set me free. Let's sing this last verse and really think about these wonderful words.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with Him to be. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
Let us pray. Lord God, we just thank You for sending Jesus. And we thank You, Lord, that He paid our debt and that we became Your children through Him. Your special children. Your redeemed children. Lord, we know that all of creation belongs to You, but Lord, we rebelled. We ran away. And then You sent Jesus to bring us home. And we thank You for that. We want to sing about it. But Lord, we don't want to keep it our secret. You have commissioned us to tell those who are still living in rebellion. And so Lord, we pray that You would give us a spirit of evangelism, a spirit of sharing this great news, the great news of Jesus. Help us to sing and help us to talk of our Redeemer. And help us to tell those who do not know Jesus as Redeemer that He'll be their Redeemer too. Thank You. Thank You for this time, for a challenge. Thank You for this time to worship and praise You. Thank You for this time to be touched again with Your Word and with Your Spirit. Thank You for loving us and calling us to be Your people. And we offer our thanks and praise in this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we express our faith.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Thank you. You may be seated. We come to the time where we confess our sin. Our call to confession comes from John chapter 1, verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Now, if you will, in unison with me, pray the prayer of confession. Eternal God, in every age you have raised up men and women to live and die in faith. We confess that we are indifferent to your will. You call us to proclaim your name, but we are silent. You call us to do what is just, but we remain idle. You call us to live faithfully, but we are afraid. In your mercy, forgive us. Give us courage to follow in your way, that joined with those from ages past who have served you with faith, hope, and love, we may inherit the kingdom you promised in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them.
In your hymnal 532, Oh Happy Day, a different version than I was thinking it might be, but this is a good song. Let's do the first, the second, and the last.
Oh, happy day that fixed my joy on Thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to Him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill His house, while to that sacred shrine I move. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Rest my long, divided heart, fixed on this blissful center rest. Nor ever from my Lord depart, with Him of every good possessed. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Offertory sentence today comes from Luke 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Would our ushers come forward at this time?
Father, again we bow before you with much thanksgiving for the blessings that you have poured out to us, spiritual blessings, especially Jesus Christ, to bring us forgiveness, to redeem us. And we thank you for the material blessings. And Lord, help our blessings not to become a curse unto us. And we thank you now for the opportunity of returning a portion to you according to your request. For the work of your kingdom here on earth. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Things before you get into the next hymn is, one is, I forgot to announce, please sign the attendance pads that have already been passed out. And another thing else, was there any first-time visitors today? Do we have any first-time visitors? Jesse, would you like to introduce your friend? No, Jesse doesn't want to introduce her friend. Would Jesse's friend like to introduce herself?
She's been here before.
She's been here before.
They're playing.
Okay.
We welcome her a second time too, right? Is that right?
We welcome you as many times as you want to come.
Jesse's been real faithful to bringing friends to church too. We affirm her in that.
You have an insert in your bulletin. It's whosoever will. Larry wanted to know, did I know this? And I do. Do y'all? It might be. Let's do all three verses.
Whosoever heareth shout, shout the sound, spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father's call, the wonders home. Whosoever will. May come. Whosoever cometh need not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the truth, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, 'tis life forevermore. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." He said, "Go and tell his people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, O Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leaf stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." The word of God for the people of God. Praise God.
Stephen and Louise and Teresa and Tony will come in a bit. Tony King. David, will you come in a bit? What I'm trying to do is use the active elders and they'll be played. So then we move to those who have been ordained as elders. For the words of institution, you can read, but this morning, allow me, if I may, to paraphrase. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give an account of Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul also gives the account in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with about verse 17, or you might begin with verse 23. And they all say, in essence, that on the night that Jesus was arrested, the night before his crucifixion, he met with the disciples in the upper room. And he celebrated the Passover with them.
And at the Passover meal, I guess as it drew to a close, he instituted this remembrance of him. The Passover was a way of remembering the freeing of the Israelites from the Egyptian bondage. And with this new era, new covenant, Christians, those who trusted Jesus and followed him because he was the Savior, the Son of God, the special Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, he instituted a way for us to remember him and the sacrifice that he made for us. So he took some bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you," and asked the disciples to eat of it. He offered a prayer there as he set us apart for this holy use, this remembrance of the Son of God sacrificing his life or giving his life for the salvation of mankind. Then he took a cup of wine, and blessed it, and told the disciples to drink of it. That was his blood shed for the remission of sin. And so we come today to remember his sacrifice for us as we celebrate or observe this remembrance that he instituted for us so many years ago. If you are a believer in Jesus as your Savior, if you're claiming that sacrificial death as payment for your sins, and you put that shedding of his blood as being your providing your forgiveness, you're invited to eat and to drink from his table. Let us pray. Lord God, the bread, something that we deal with every day and sometimes often every day, something common and normal in our lives. You took it and made it special and holy. And Lord God, you said it was your body. And if you broke that bread, you symbolize how your body would be broken for us. And Lord, if we partake of this bread, we remember how your love is so great. You would give your body to be broken for us. Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name. Believe that it was shed for us. We claim the forgiveness that Jesus provided there on that cross. eat and drink, remembering God's sacrifice of His Son for you and me.
Talk a little bit more about the call this morning of God. When we see Isaiah's call, and then I guess the warning in the call that it would not be an easy task. But if we think about the call of God from the Bible, we can use some examples from modern life, or somewhat modern life. It was 197 years ago, I believe, that the Cumberland Presbyterian Church came into being. And history tells us that it was today that happened. February the 4th, 1810. And the men that were instrumental in bringing this about felt a definite call of God. And we're not really celebrating today in a rambunctious way And we probably won't celebrate too much tonight in a rambunctious way at Columbia, but we are going, and one of the professors from seminary, actually the director of the program of alternate studies, which is housed at the seminary, will be there, Thomas D. Campbell, and he will preach, and we will remember our beginning. Go to a Methodist church, you hear many references to what Wesley said, and we have failed, and I think rightly so. If I felt any different, I would do different, to always say what King, Ewing, and McAdoo said, Wesley being the one, I guess, responsible for the establishing of the what is now the United Methodist Church. But there will be a celebration tonight at Columbia, because today is our birthday, and I've been only a part of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church all of my life, since I was 11 years old, and the Cumberland Presbyterian Church has influenced my life, and it has supported me throughout my life. For you who do not know, through the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, from the second year of college on, I was educated. They gave me an education. Had to pay for a portion of it. Then I found a wife in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and as an adult, it's the only job I've ever had, working as a minister in the church. Now, Mr. Thompson, our neighbor and friend, he's not sure that I work now. He's not sure I have a real job, but we still run together and worship together and eat breakfast together. Mr. Thompson, it's the only job I've ever had, real or unreal. So, kind of a morning coffee time story. Mr. Thompson told somebody one day that my wife had a real job, and that person responded, "Well, what kind of job does Larry have?" And not sure mine was all that real. But it's kept me busy. The founders of the church were Finis Ewing, Samuel King, and Samuel McAdoo. And I have just, after 30 plus years in the ministry, last year began to read some of the writings or about the story of Finis Ewing. We just knew the name and knew that he lived in Nashville and went over to Dixon County or what is now Dixon County, to get the church established. That next statement is a badly constructed sentence, and it may be quite misleading, but it was already printed, already inserted in the bulletin, and I didn't have the energy or the determination to come and take them all out and rewrite that one sentence and print this again. I said there are four points of disagreement. Why did the Cumberland Presbyterian Church come about? There were four points of disagreement with the Westminster Confession that the founders could not agree with. And it looks like, one way to read that the founders of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church disagreed with those four points. Well, the fact is, these are the four points that they made. They disagreed with the opposite of these four points. CPs, the founders, these three men, they believe that there were and are no eternal reprobates. Now, what is a reprobate? That's one outside the fellowship of God, outside the kingdom of God. And Calvinism would teach, and it's in I brought a copy of it, the Book of Confessions. Included here is of the USA Church, included here is the Westminster Confession. And the Westminster Confession states that certain people, states that only the elect can be saved and go to heaven. And Cumberland Presbyterian founders believed that John 3:16 was true. That whosoever will, that's why we sang that song this morning, whosoever will, whosoever was willing to be saved, that God would save them if they were willing to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And Westminster Confession, and I can show you in the book, won't do it this morning, said, referred to those not elected. Those not elected. Now, so these three guys and others too, but these three guys were the ones that kind of got kicked out, and they had to do something. They kept trying to get back in, but not giving up their belief that Jesus died for all of mankind. And they couldn't, so they organized the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Now, you got 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then John 3:16, and then 1 Timothy, no, it's, I believe it's, is it 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 1:15? 1 or 2 Timothy 1:15, and then says that God wants all, or the gospel is for all people. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will may be saved. Actually, it says, whosoever will shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then it says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Now, in 1903, this happened in 1810 or previous to it. They argued for 5 or 6 years. And in 1903, the northern branch of the Presbyterian Church and the branches came about during the Civil War. It took until 83 or 84 to get back together. But the northern branch made a declaratory statement where they said that they agreed with what Ewan, King, and McAdoo had said in 1810. In the gospel, God declares His love for the world and His desire that all men should be saved. And so they finally understood what these three men and others understood in 1810 or 1806 or 1800. And it says that the whole lost race of man, God offers to them salvation to all men through the gospel. So are we that different from the other Presbyterians now on Calvinism? No. There's one branch of the Presbyterian Church now that still holds to the doctrine of election very strongly and predestination. But one person that allegedly was in the know said that in their instruction for new members in the church, they would talk on that just a little bit and then jump real quick to our duty to evangelize all people, to be evangelists to all people. And the Cumberland Presbyterian said that God wanted everybody to be saved that would be. And then number two, that Christ died not for a part only, but for all of mankind. The same statement said a different way. And then number three, Westminster Confession talks about infants, elect infants, dying in infancy are saved through Christ. And that declaratory statement talks about those infants too, and states that we believe that all, that any who die in infancy, well, the statement said that those who died in infancy were not elect, were lost. We believe that all dying in infancy are included in the election of grace in their declaratory statement. So we can't be mean to them because of that belief, at least. And we wouldn't want to anyway, would we? Matthew 18, Luke 18, where Jesus invited the little children to him, and he didn't say, now some of you are not of the elect. Mark chapter 10 gives the same story, but Matthew and Luke 18. And then the fourth point, that the Spirit of God operates on the world or as coextensively as Christ has made atonement in such a manner as to leave all men inexcusable. Strict Calvinism would say if you were elect, you could do what you want to. And that is in its simplest terms, and that can be argued, but in its simplest terms, that's what I understand it to say. And the founders of the Covenant Presbyterian Church said that every person had the responsibility to repent of his sin and come to Jesus Christ. The men who formed the church had been called to preach. And they had a burning desire to preach the message of Christ to all who would listen. And invite all to trust Jesus as their Savior, with the assurance that He would save them. With the assurance that God had not elected some not to be saved. This was their call. And they went west, and they went south, and they went east, and they went north. From the Nashville, Dixon, Tennessee area, sharing the gospel. So happened in 1906, after the declaratory statement, the Cumberland Presbyterian Church united with the northern branch of the Presbyterians, but diehard said, no, we're not going with them. We're not going with them, so we are what remained after 1906. Now, say that and get to the point or the question, could we compare these men with the prophet Isaiah? He had a call, so we can compare them there, and he was sent to a people who needed to hear the gospel. They were about to be destroyed. Well, there are some ways that we could compare them to Isaiah. And there may be other ways that we could not compare them. But although Isaiah, let's think about Isaiah in that passage, although Isaiah was called by God and sent by God to God's people, God warned him that the way would not be easy. Certainly, establishing a new church in a new, relatively new world in the early 1800s was not an easy task. But people were on the frontier. Some did not want to hear the gospel, and they caused all kind of problems. But there were some on the frontier that were hungry for the gospel, and the church flourished, and the church, the Methodist church at the same time flourished, and the Baptist church flourished in this area. So we became known as the Bible Belt, I guess, sometime after that. Certainly we can take the problems Isaiah was told that he would face as he was fulfilling his calling as warnings that there will be difficulties to deal with as we attempt to fulfill our calling. And if you read Isaiah's calling, the first 8 verses is really the calling. And Isaiah offered himself, and first he didn't think he was worthy. He felt so unworthy before God because he was such a sinful man. And God sent the coals of fire from the altar, taken in the tongs by the seraph, and placed on his lips to symbolize that his lips were clean. And he was to go speak to this people of God. But God said, you'll preach, and they won't understand, and they won't perceive what you're saying. And I guess that's a warning to any preacher today, to when he preaches, and people say, yeah, or something of that nature. We got the example of Isaiah. He preached, and they did not understand. They did not perceive. Or he would preach, and their hearts would be calloused, and God warned Isaiah of the callousness of the heart. And he's preached. And God said, you'll go preach and their ears will be dull. They won't hear. They won't hear. Be dull. They won't understand. And they'll even close their eyes to what's so vivid. But they'll still close their eyes. But then God was saying, these people are going to be destroyed. It was the promise that the Babylonians were coming. That's kind of the historical setting. We mentioned it the past 2 weeks. The Babylonians were coming. And they're going to wipe you off the earth if you don't get it together. But you're going to go preach and they're not going to listen. And the Babylonians will come. And they did come. But, I think it's verse 13. There is a holy seed that remains. And he talked about an oak tree that we know about. That other tree, terebinth. Terebinth are an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is the stump. They would not be totally destroyed. They would not be totally destroyed. Israel would not. As a remnant would be saved. And I was at a conference, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and the preacher preached on this passage. And he says that stump, or that holy seed of the stump, was a reference to Jesus. That God would send Jesus to redeem the people. If you look at down in chapter 7, he starts talking about Jesus. Or what we've interpreted as references to Jesus. And in chapter 9, references to Jesus. And then, I think it's chapter 42, and then especially chapter 53, in Isaiah's prophecy. There is the holy seed that remains. Let's pray. Lord, your call, your church, your people. You have called us from sin to salvation. Lord, we confess already this morning that we have not always been obedient to you. We have not always had listening ears. But Lord, you keep loving us. And that's our hope, not our faithfulness, but your faithfulness. And Lord, we just praise you for your faithfulness. And Lord, we pray that you will just so live in us, that your Spirit will so move in us, that you will keep us faithful. Not only ourselves committed to you, but that we will share this good news that Jesus came for all of mankind. Thank you. Praise you. Glory be unto you, O Lord Most High. Amen. I believe the song is Take My Life and Let It Be. I want to sing, as we open up at 379, I kind of want to sing Take My Silver and My Gold, but, well, are we going to commit that to the Lord? I think many of us have, and I praise you for it and affirm you for it, but let's stand together and sing the first verse of 379, a commitment of ourselves unto the Lord.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Thank you for sending Jesus. And thank you for sending him to us. And Lord, help us to be faithful in sharing him. The Holy Seed is all of mankind. And his name
the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
You didn't even get credit for it.
Then Jesus went back to Cana in Galilee.
Sir.
The man replied, well, but don't sin. Jesus answered them.
But Jesus said,
My Father.
So Jesus answered them,
I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing on his own. He does only what he sees his Father doing. What the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. He will... I am telling you the truth.
I tell you for certain that everyone who hears my message and has faith in the one who sent me
Thank you.